Last year, the Environmental Protection Agency set the first requirements for coal-fired power plants to reduce mercury pollution. At the time, there were a lot of complaints that the new rule didn't go far enough. Now more than a dozen states have moved beyond those complaints. As NPR's Elizabeth Shogren reports, they've set their own tougher rules.
Michigan's one of the many states rejecting the EPA's approach to reducing mercury pollution.
Well, what the federal government was proposing is too little and too late.
Steve Chester directs Michigan's Department of Environmental Quality.
With the program they were proposing, we might not have controls even by 2025, and that just wasn't satisfactory from our perspective.
His plan requires much deeper cuts. A decade earlier, power plants have to cut mercury emissions 90% by 2015. Other states' programs move even faster. They want to stop mercury pollution from falling into rivers, lakes, and streams. Chester says it gets into the food web and contaminates the fish that people eat.
Mercury is a potent neurotoxin, particularly of concern for women of childbearing age and children, and so it's a significant concern for us. We also are a state known for our tourism and sport fishing, and when you have all your inland lakes and miles of streams adversely impacted by mercury emission, you feel compelled to do something about it.
Chester says it's time to go after the biggest source of mercury in the country, coal-fired power plants. He says it's clear that power plants can slash emissions far more quickly than the federal rule requires. There's a power plant in Michigan that's already doing it. The Presque Isle power plant sits on the shores of Lake Superior in northern Michigan. Since early this year, it's been stripping up to 90% of the mercury from its emissions. It's the first in the country to permanently install the equipment needed to do that. Plant manager Les Kowalski says the project is still in its early stages.
We still have work going on, finishing up some of the final touches of the construction. That's why some of the areas are cordoned off, because they're still working above us. Another good reason for that hard hat.
As we walk through the plant, Kowalski explains how the new equipment works. It injects carbon into the waste gas to absorb the mercury. And then the gas goes into a big filter known as a baghouse.
Think of the baghouse as being a much larger version of your home vacuum cleaner.
But instead of one bag, like your vacuum, it has thousands. They look like a box of giant straws, 6 inches wide and 24 feet long. The carbon and mercury collect on them.
And compressed air, every so often, is puffed, essentially, into the bags. And that disturbs the bag, just disrupts it enough to where it releases the material that's been collected and it drops down into the collection hopper below.
The plant expects to collect about 100 pounds of mercury a year.
Anything that we collect out of the volume of flue gas that goes into the atmosphere has got to be a good thing, because mercury is pretty nasty even in small quantities.
As with any new technology, it's taking some time to work out the kinks.
All the difficulties we've seen so far are manageable.
Chris Krause is a vice president of We Energies, the company that owns the plant. She says the new technology is worth the trouble.
We see it as potentially as a competitive advantage, where if we can get in on the ground floor and understand how technology works and hopefully enhance it by our own employees' ideas and experiences, that gives us an advantage.
She said it doesn't hurt that the Federal Energy Department paid for half of the project. And she says the company wants to help solve a big global problem.
We're hoping that other countries will start to look at removing mercury from their operations, but it's hard for us to point at other countries and say that they should be removing mercury when we're not willing to make an effort to develop the technology to do that ourselves.
But under EPA rules, most plants in the United States won't have to install pollution controls like the ones here at the Presque Isle plant for many years. Mike Johnston says that's how it should be. He represents the Michigan Manufacturing Association. He thinks Michigan's making a costly mistake by speeding up mercury controls.
And when you're the worst economy in the nation with the highest unemployment rate, where you've lost 289,000 jobs in the last 5 years, it doesn't make sense to spend money where there's no environmental benefit.
He says there's not enough evidence that cutting pollution from Michigan's 20 coal-fired power plants will actually reduce mercury in the state's fish. And he says the technologies aren't ready for prime time. Michael Durham says that's not true. He's president of ADA Environmental Solutions. It's one of several companies that already sell mercury control devices.
There's been about 30 contracts between power plants and vendors of mercury-specific control technology. We'll see several start up this fall and early next year, and with all of these 30 probably in place over the next year or so.
But he says there would be a lot more sales if the federal government had adopted a tougher mercury rule.
The market for mercury-specific technology is really going to be postponed for potentially 2 to 3 decades into the future.
And Durham says the saving grace for his industry is that states like Michigan want to move faster. But the EPA has been actively discouraging other states from adopting aggressive mercury rules. Bill Wareham heads EPA's air pollution programs. He says he's telling states to stick with the federal plan.
The reason we're encouraging states to do that is we think it's the most efficient and most effective way to control mercury emissions from the coal-fired power sector.
States have to make their choice this month, and so far more than a dozen, from Minnesota to New Hampshire, have rejected EPA's advice. The latest was Pennsylvania. Elizabeth Shogren, NPR News.